chapter 1. My wife and I, we have this comic strip that we really like, and it involves these two characters. One character kind of represents the brain, so very like calculating, very careful, and then another character represents the heart. The heart is very happy-go-lucky, the optimist, always looking for something positive. One example of a comic strip that we thought was kind of funny is you see the heart character kind of looking online, shopping, and he says, "Oh, look, if we spend $75, we can get free shipping." And then it cuts to the brain, and the brain says, "We are not spending $73 more to get free shipping." But I think our favorite comic of this series is it has the heart kind of looking at all of these wonderful and beautiful things. You know, there's butterflies, there's sunshine, there's just all these great things, and the heart is just looking at them, and the heart says, "Hey, brain, look at this." And the brain says, "Not now, can't you see I'm busy?" And it cuts to the shot of the brain, and the brain has found this little tiny bad thing, and he has a magnifying glass, and he's hovering over this one tiny bad thing, even though there's all of these other beautiful things around. And I think the reason we like that comic so much is because we've all felt that. You know, no matter how many good things are happening, no matter how many good things are true about our lives as believers, there are these little hard things, trials, difficulties, that cause us to just get distracted. And we end up spending all of our time and energy just kind of consumed with the one bad thing, even though there are all these wonderful things happening. You know, when life is hard, we tend to get distracted from what God is saying to us in Christ. And many of our problems happen when we stop listening to what God has spoken to us in Christ. And what we need when life is hard is to remember what God has told us in Christ. But sometimes that seems like the least practical thing we could possibly do, right? Maybe you just find out that your car needs $1,000 of work. It's like, well, what good is listening to what God has spoken in Christ? I need to figure out how to get the money to pay for these repairs that I need for my car. Or maybe you have a relative that's no longer speaking to you. You know, maybe because you're a Christian, maybe because of some conflict that happened. And to think, well, how's God going to fix that? I need to work on this relationship. I need to try to reconcile this. But your greatest need when life is hard is to intently listen to what God has spoken in Christ. There's nothing better for you. And that's the context of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a book written to a group of believers, and things have started out well. If you want to even just flip briefly to chapter 10, you get a little picture of just how good they've been doing since they became believers. Look at verse 32. It says, "Remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward." So they started off really well. They started off loving Christ, loving God's people, suffering with people, and even joyfully giving up their property for the sake of Christ. But over the course of time, those things have continued, and they wore down these people, you know, to the point where they're at a point where they're considering just leaving Christ altogether. And so what the author of Hebrews is trying to tell them is don't forget what you have in Christ. And that's what these first three verses in Hebrews 1 are all about. Listen to what God has spoken in Christ. So I'm going to read these verses and then we'll pray. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's pray. Lord, we've all felt the pull of different distractions, sometimes trials, sometimes just other things that keep us busy, that can distract us from remembering what you've spoken to us in Christ. And Lord, we've also seen how many of our trials can get worse and our troubles get worse when we stop listening to you. And so, Lord, remind us this morning of what you've spoken in Christ. Help us to remember it once again. Help us to not stop listening to it, even when life is hard. Help us to know that it is the best thing for us, that it reminds us what life is all about. It gives us the right perspective, but it also reminds us that you care for us, that you love us, and that even when life is hard, those things are still true. And so, Lord, help us this morning as we look at these verses. I pray that you would speak to us through your word and help us to know how to live it out. We pray in Christ's name. So listen to what God has spoken in Christ. First, listen because there's nothing better for you than Christ. Don't listen to anything else. That's what really these first four verses are about. There's really one main point in all of these verses, and it's this, that God has spoken in Christ. And that's the key thought, that God has revealed himself in a special and unique way through his Son. God wants to be known. God wants to be experienced. He wants his people to know him and experience eternal life. And so he spoke in Christ. Now, this is even more striking when you consider really the heart of sin is that you're saying, I don't want to hear from you, God. I don't want you speaking to me. I don't want to do what you say. I don't want to listen to what you say. I don't want to know God. But you don't get the cold shoulder from God. Right? You think about all our relationships. Someone does something that we don't like. What do? We cut off the lines of communication usually. But the essence of love is loving someone that's not worthy, right? That's the essence of God's love for us, that he loves people that are not worthy of his love. And that's really the essence of our love for one another also, right? That we have to love people who are unworthy, because who's worthy of our love? No one, right? You know, we're not worthy of anyone else's love either. And so God doesn't close communication. God opens communication through his Son. He wants to be known. He wants to be experienced. And if you think of the book of Hebrews as a sermon, in many ways it is, this is the author's way of getting everybody's attention right from the beginning. God has spoken. You need to listen. You know, no matter what's going on, no matter what you're distracted by, this is the most important thing for you. When life is hard and you're not sure you can continue on, the best thing for you is to listen to what God has spoken in Christ. And verses 1 and 2 are going to present a series of contrasts to show that God has spoken finally and uniquely through Christ. So there's three contrasts that we're going to look at in these first two verses. There's one of time, when did he speak? There's one of audience, who did he speak to? And there's one of kind of mode, or how did he go about speaking? But the first is time. Let's look at this. Christ's revelation is final, right? He says in verse 1 that God spoke when? Long ago. In verse 2, when did he speak? In these last days. God spoke in the past. God spoke before Christ came. He spoke at various stages of history. But God speaking in the past was always preparatory. It was preparing for a final speaking that he would do in the last days. And now that Christ has come, we are in the last days. We are in the final stage of history. And God has spoken in these final days. He's done a definitive, complete communication of everything that he wanted to say, and he's done it through Christ. There's no further revelation that we should expect. There's no further revelation that's necessary. Christ is the final, complete revelation from God. Everything you need to know about God, he revealed in Christ. Everything God wanted you to know about himself, he has revealed in Christ. Jesus Christ is the clearest and most complete revelation of God. Anyone that says you can know God apart from Christ is deceived or a liar. Anyone that says that Christ is just one prophet and there are many others that have come after him is deceived or a liar. Islam is wrong. Mormonism is wrong. You cannot know more about God than what you find out in Christ. If you want the final picture of what God is like, look no further than Jesus Christ. God speaking today is just continually reminding you what he has said through Christ. You can kind of think of it this way. If you think about a band that you really like, a group or a musician, you know, every album, you're sort of being revealed more and more about what that who that band is, right? And the hope is that every album that they release is better and better and better. Well, in a lot of ways, Christ is the final album from God, or he is God's greatest hits. That he is everything that you need to know about God, you see in Jesus Christ. But the great thing about Christ is that he's not going to get old, right? That Bee Gees album, that gets old eventually. Maybe not for a very long time, but it will get old. But Christ will never get old. You could listen to that record over and over and over and over again, and you're only going to appreciate God more and more and more and more. And so don't listen to anything else when it comes to knowing God. Only listen to Christ. And what God has spoken in Christ is going to reverberate for all eternity. And so have you been feeling like you need to hear from God? Then listen to what he said in Christ. Look at Christ. Listen to him. Read the Gospels. Read the New Testament. Remind yourself of who God is through Christ. And so Christ's revelation is final. There's nothing else necessary. There's nothing else that would ever tell you more about who God is. But Christ's revelation, apart from being final, is also personal. Look at verse 1 again. Who did he speak to? The fathers. In verse 2, who did he speak to? It says to us, right? There's a contrast between to the fathers in the past, to us now, those people living in the last days. So not only is God speaking final, it's also personal. He is speaking to you, and you must respond. This is a message that demands your attention and demands your response. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, if you're a parent or your kids are asking you a question and you're not really paying attention, you're kind of doing something else. You know how kids are, they just let something go, right? They'll just ask it once, and then if you don't respond, they won't ask it again. It's like, no, right? Like, they will ask you again and again and again and again, and they will demand that you answer their question or that you respond to them. Well, God's message in Christ is like that. You have to respond. It's not a take it or leave it, like, oh, you can listen to it or not. No, you have to respond to it. It's a word from God to you, and you must respond. So God has spoken in Christ. How are you going to respond to that? So Christ's revelation is final. It's personal. And then lastly, Christ's revelation is superior. Again, look at the contrast. Verse 1, how did God speak? In the prophets and in many portions and in many ways. Verse 2, how did God speak? In his Son. So there's really two contrasts wrapped up here. First is that he spoke in many portions and in many ways. And the idea is that the contrast with Christ is that he spoke once and for all. So God spoke at various times and in various ways in the Old Testament, right? He spoke to Adam and Eve face to face, right? He spoke with Abraham and Moses. They heard an audible voice. He spoke through visions, through dreams. There's even times when God spoke through haircuts. If you look at Ezekiel 5, there's this strange thing where God tells Ezekiel to cut his hair. He says, take a third of it and burn it. Take another third of it, strike it with a sword. Take another third of it and throw it into the wind. And then take a few strands and tuck them into your robe. So what was God saying through that haircut? Well, he was telling Ezekiel at the time that there's going to be judgment for most of God's people. That's the whole one third, one third, one third are going to have all these different things happen to it. But then there is going to be salvation for a few. So God, at one point in the past, has even spoken through a haircut. But everything that God spoke in the past, while it was accurate, it was incomplete. He told Adam and Eve that there'd be a seed who would crush a serpent. He told David there would be a king who would reign forever. He told Isaiah that there would be a servant that would suffer for the sins of God's people. All of that was true, but all of it was piecemeal. It wasn't complete. And the contrast here is that the revelation from Christ is once and final, not in many portions and in many ways, but once and for all. Christ is not a partial revelation. He is the definitive and final revelation from God. Now, at different times in your life, you might be tempted to think it would be better for God to speak like he did in the past. Like, I'd really like an audible voice, or I'd like to have a face-to-face conversation with God, or maybe a strange haircut that would tell me what I'm supposed to do. But no, what the author is saying is that you can't get better communication from God than what you have in Christ. It's better than hearing an audible voice. It's better than even speaking face to face. What you have through Christ is the best thing God could do for you in terms of telling you about who he is and what he wants from you. Why? Why is it so much better? Because it's through a son. It's through a person from God. That's the second contrast, that he spoke in the past in the prophets, but he has spoken now in a son. In the prophets, what was he talking about? Well, what the prophets revealed was good. It was all true. But the prophets, they were just a mouthpiece for God. They were just repeating what God, you know, told them to say. But what God has done in a son is so much better. When it says that he spoke in a son, it really means not just the individual that God chose to speak through, but that God spoke in this very distinct way. This isn't prophet revelation from God. This is son kind of revelation from God. I mean, it might be the small difference between, you know, if I really wanted you to know something, you know, I could send you an email, I could send you a text, maybe call you. But if I really wanted to ensure that what I wanted communicated got to you, I might send my son, right? Or I might send a person who personally knew me and could communicate exactly what I wanted to communicate to you. That's what he has done through Christ. He sent someone that can uniquely communicate for God. My wife and I have this favorite bakery in Berkeley called Fournet. And Fournet is, I think, the best bakery that exists. I don't know if you've ever been to another bakery. I don't know what bakeries are here in Santa Rosa, but I'm pretty confident that Fournet is better than any bakery that you have ever been to. Now, to convince you of this, I could do a lot of different things, right? I could explain the ingredients. I could describe the food. I could give you pictures. I could let you, you know, I could show you the Yelp page where you could go and read all of the reviews about this particular bakery. All of those things would be accurate. All of those things would give you a sense of what that bakery is like. But if I really wanted to convince you, I would bring you a chocolate croissant. Or I would bring you a morning bun. Or I would bring you something that you could taste. And biting into that crispy, buttery, cinnamon and sugary morning bun would be a completely different kind of revelation. That is what Christ is like. That is what Christ does for you in terms of how do you know God. It's not that anything that God revealed in the past was wrong. It's just that it was partial, it was incomplete. But what Christ is doing is he's giving you a chance to see and experience God in a way that you never could through any of those other things in the Old Testament. If you want to know God, you have to look to Christ. He is God's final and complete revelation. And it's not just that Christ gives you more intellectual information about God. It's not that Christ is kind of the best book about God. No, he allows you to actually experience God, to understand what God is like, to have a relationship with him. It's not academic, it's personal. And so when you listen to what God has spoken in Christ, you experience God in a way that you never could otherwise. And he shepherds you, he changes you, you experience God. What you have in Christ is access to God. And that's what makes him the best revelation from God. And so listen to what God has spoken in Christ, because there's nothing better for you than to do that. And again, trials have this way of distracting us from listening to what God has spoken in Christ. But that just makes things worse, right? When we stop listening to God, the trials are only going to get worse. They're not going to get better. And your experience of them is only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Because when you stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ, you stop experiencing God. He's not going to strengthen you if you're not listening to him. He's not going to shepherd you if you're not listening to what he has to say. And what happens is we start turning to other things. And, you know, sometimes I think we do that because we're not really sure that God can fix the situation that we're in. Right? I'm living for Christ, but I still have problems. I must need something else. Or I've been living for Christ, but just scraping by financially. This isn't working. I have to try other things. You know, maybe I need to stop giving to the church. Maybe I have to stop being generous to others. Maybe I have to assert myself at work more, throw a couple people under the bus, and then I'll start to get where I need to get financially. But no, don't listen to other things. Don't listen to other voices. Don't listen to what other people may tell you you should do in a certain situation. Listen to what God has spoken in Christ. If you're in financial troubles, keep trusting him. Keep seeking first his kingdom, and he will make sure that you have everything that you need. Maybe you've been living for Christ, but you're still struggling to overcome a certain sin. And again, what do? We start turning to other things, and we can just get legalistic. Maybe I'm just not following the right set of rules. And if I was really good about just following these rules, then I'd overcome this sin. Or maybe you go to the other extreme of just saying, maybe I'm never going to overcome this sin and I should just stop trying. But again, your sin problem is going to get worse if you choose either of those paths. What you need to do is trust that Christ will help you overcome the sin in your life. And so listen to what God has spoken in Christ, because there's nothing better for you. Nothing else is going to work. Just keep listening to him. So what did God want to uniquely communicate through Christ? What's interesting about the book of Hebrews is you would think a book that starts with God has spoken in Christ would include a lot of what? Maybe quotations from Christ? You know, you have zero quotations from Christ in the book of Hebrews. So what God wanted to communicate through Christ was not just his words, but actually it's who he is and what he has done. That's the heart of what he wanted to communicate to you, who Christ is and what he has done. The rest of these verses in 1-3 are going to highlight these things about Christ. So what does God want to uniquely communicate through Christ? Two things. First, Christ is superior to all things. He's over all things. And second, Christ offers a superior care for you. Or to say it maybe another way, life is meant to be all about Christ, and Christ is going to help you live that way. So second, listen to remember that Christ is exalted above all things. Don't forget, because one of the first things we forget when we start listening to something else is that life is all about Christ. Christ is the reason you exist. And so let's look how he describes it. Verse 2, he says, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son. There are three things he wants to highlight about his Son. First, it says, he has the one whom he appointed heir of all things. So remember that all things were created for him. Everything belongs to the Son. It all exists for him. Right? We even read Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. Everything belongs to the Son. He's the heir of all things. Not only the nations, but also the entire universe belongs to the Son. You exist for Christ. Your family exists for Christ. Your money exists for Christ. Your possessions exist for Christ. It's not yours. Everything exists for him. He is the heir of all things. But not only is he the heir of all things, he's the creator of all things as well. After he says that he appointed him heir of all things, it also says through whom he also made the world. Everything was created by the Son. Which means, first of all, that the Son is not created, that he existed before anything was created. But it also means that he is responsible for the creation of everything that you see. And when it says that he created the world, the word there is actually, you could translate it ages, which means that he didn't only create all the physical stuff. He also created space, time, the course of history. He did it all. The sun did it all. He's not just talking about the material world, but the entire course of the universe. He created you. He created your family. He placed you in this city. He placed you in the job that you're in. He appointed that you would live at this time. He appointed that you would live in the various circumstances that you are living through. He created not just the globe, but he actually appointed every single thing about your life, which changes your perspective, right? That it's not an accident that I'm right here, right now. It's not an accident that I'm in this family. It's not an accident that I'm in this job with these particular coworkers. It's not an accident that I'm in this city with these neighbors. No, he appointed all of those things. Christ is responsible for all of those things. All things were created not only for him, but by him. And not only that, he is reigning over all things. We'll skip a couple of things and we'll come back to those later. But when it says that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, that means that not only did he create all things, that all things are created for him, but he is actively ruling over all of those things right now. The sun is reigning over all things. And so the first thing that God wanted you to make sure that you understood is that life is all about Christ. That's what he wanted to uniquely communicate through the sun, that all things are for Christ. Because again, when you stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ, one of the first things you forget is that life is all about Christ. And what happens when you do that? Well, you start living for yourself. And living for yourself is always going to result in disappointment and frustration. I mean, think about your home life. Maybe you're a husband and a father. And maybe you stop listening to what God is speaking in Christ. You start listening to other things. You see some buddies, you know, they're going out and they're playing a lot of golf. They're buying the newest gadgets. They're doing these different things. And you start to think, you know what? I deserve some of these things. And you start just living for yourself. And what happens? Well, your wife and your kids, they'll tend to become nuisances rather than blessings, because they're going to be hindrances to you experiencing all these things that you think you deserve to experience. Or maybe even ministry. You can start doing ministry for yourself and not for Christ. What happens when you do that? Well, you get frustrated. You look around all these people that aren't pulling their weight. You think, why am I serving so hard when all these people aren't? What's the point? Why aren't they doing what they are supposed to do? You get Martha syndrome, right? And you're frustrated that you're working and other people aren't. Or maybe you start going through a hardship and you get angry at God. Rather than believing that he's over all things, that he's created all things, you start to think, God, what's wrong with you? Like, how could you let this happen to me? And instead of living for yourself, you need to remember that life is about Christ. And everything that you experience needs to be through that filter. So if you go through a hardship, he's orchestrating all of those things for his purposes. And that changes your perspective in that hardship from God, how could you, to God, how can I glorify Christ in this situation? Knowing that Christ reigns over all things keeps you focused on his glory and not your own. It keeps you humble. It keeps you looking for ways to exalt him. If you're that husband and father, it changes your perspective in the morning from, you know, grumbling about work or to the kids to, Lord, help me to be a servant today. Help me to serve you. Help me to serve my wife. Help me to serve my children. Help me to lovingly instruct them and shepherd them with patience and gentleness. Or if you're busy serving in ministry, even if other people aren't, it doesn't matter to you because you serve with joy. Because you know there's nothing better for me than to be serving Christ, because life is all about him. And then it also frees you up from guilting people into serving and inviting people to serve, again, with joy, because you know there's nothing better for them than to serve Christ with joy. It changes your perspective of everything. It changes your life from having a perspective of what do I want to do today to Christ, how can I serve your purposes today? And how have you orchestrated my life in a unique way that I can make things all about you? So remember, he didn't only create you, but appointed that you would be where you are, when you are. These things are not accidents. And so look for ways to live for him in whatever circumstance you're in. Now, you may be tempted to think that if everything exists for Christ and his purposes, well, where does that leave me? Or if I start living for him, then who's going to take care of my needs? How does Christ being exalted over all things actually help me? But Christ's exaltation is intimately tied to his care for his people. Both the way that Christ was exalted and how Christ exercises his exalted position are through his care for you. Christ is in a position of honor because he cared for you. And Christ exercises his position of honor in a way to care for you. And so that's our last point today. Listen to remember that Christ is exalted through his care for you. Don't forget that he cares for you. Don't forget that when you're living for him, he's going to make sure that you're taken care of. And so those are the last three descriptions we'll look at in these verses. So first, remember that Christ came to show you God. Look at verse 3. It describes Christ this way. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. He's the radiance of God's glory. The Son embodies and radiates the glory of God. Just like the S-U-N, sun, is known by its light and its heat, God is known through Christ. It is only through Christ that you get to see and experience God. It says that he's the exact imprint of his nature. This is the ultimate like Father, like Son, which emphasizes not that he's somehow less than the Father, but he is everything that the Father is. He's an identical imprint, not just similar. He's not some cheap knockoff, right? He's not like the Warriors jersey you could go buy like at the gas station. No, he's the real deal, right? The letters aren't going to fall off that one. You know, Christ is the exact imprint of God. Not a knockoff, not anything less. He is exactly what God is because he is God. And this is the one who cares for you. The one who is in every way equal to the Father cares for you. And these terms emphasize not only that Christ is God, but that Christ is the one who shows you what God is like. It goes back again to that main point of this whole thing is that God has spoken. God wants to be known. How did he make himself known? By showing you exactly what he's like in Christ. So God wants you to know him, and he sends the only person who can reveal him, Jesus Christ. And again, this is one of the first evidences of his care for you, is that he wants you to know what he's like. He wants you to know what God is like. You remember Jesus and his conversation with Philip, and Philip asked him, you know, Jesus, would you show us the Father? And then he says to Philip, like, have I been with you so long? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's like he's telling Philip, you missed the whole point. The whole point is that I am showing you the Father, because I am the exact same representation as the Father. God wants you to experience him. He wants you to have eternal life. Eternal life is knowing God and knowing his Son. And so that's what he did through sending Christ. He wants to show you who God is. And so remember that Christ came to show you God. That's the first evidence of how he cares for you. He wants you to know what God is like. He wants you to experience eternal life. Next, remember that Christ is also intimately involved in your life. Look back at verse 3. It says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. So this phrase, that he upholds all things by the word of his power, it means that Christ is intimately involved with his creation. You know, some people picture God as this sort of like cosmic clockmaker, right? He winds everything up, he creates everything, and then he just lets it go. And he can go get a cup of coffee or do whatever he needs to do while his creation goes. But that's not the way that God's creation is. It's not a machine that is just going to keep going. Christ is sustaining it and making sure that it does exactly what he wants it to do. He is in control. His plans and his purposes are going to be accomplished. The one who is in every way equal to the Father is going to make sure that his plans are accomplished. And the amazing thing is about what that tells us is, what is his plans that he wants to accomplish in the very next phrase? That he made purification for sins. Those are the plans that he wants to make sure get accomplished. He wants to make sure that your sins are purified. This phrase that he upholds all things by the word of his power, it has this idea that he's carrying things to their intended destination. This is not just saying that Christ holds everything together in some sort of impersonal way, that isn't it great that Christ holds all things together. Yes, he does hold all things together. But what this is saying that is that he's going to make sure that his plans are accomplished. And the good news that is for us is that his plans involve us being purified from our sins. And so Christ will make sure that his plan to purify you from sin is going to be accomplished. It has already been accomplished on his work on the cross. And so he's upholding all things by his powerful word because he cares for you. His plans for your life will be accomplished. What does this mean? It means that that trial that you are in is him accomplishing his purposes for you. That classmate that you find so difficult to love, or coworker, that's his plan for you. That's his purpose for you, and he's making sure that it's accomplished. That chronic illness or that loss of a loved one that makes life so hard is his purpose for you. The difficulties that we face, they're not accidents. They're part of Christ accomplishing his purposes in our lives and in the world. And he's doing good to us in all of those things. And so remember that he is intimately involved in your life. That the things that are going on in your life, they're not accidents. He's orchestrating all of them for his purposes. And then last but not least, remember that Christ has cleansed you from sin. This last phrase, when he made purification for sins. And this really, I mean, this is the top of the top, right? All of these verses have been highlighting things that only Christ can do. And now we've reached Everest, right? The top of it all, that he has made purification for sins. And note that it says purification. It doesn't just say he made forgiveness for sins. Right. He's not just forgiving you of your sins, though he is doing that. He's purifying you from sin. When he died on that cross, he was not only removing the penalty, he was actually cleansing you. He was giving you access to God that you couldn't have before, that you can only have now through his blood. Because you have been purified, you can now approach God for his power in your life even today. What does this mean? It means that not only has the condemnation of sin been removed, but you now have access to power that has disabled the effects of sin in your life. And you can live in that power every single day. You have access every single day to approach the throne of grace and ask for mercy and help in your time of need. And Christ will give it. That's what he's talking about when he says purification for sins, not just forgiveness, but actual victory over sin in your life through his power. In addition to removing the penalty, he was delivering you from its tyranny. He had you in mind, and he was saying to God that, you know, he will no longer be a slave to lust. I'm going to deliver him. She is no longer going to be plagued with guilt. I'm going to cleanse her. I am laying down my life to purify my people. He doesn't want to just forgive your sins. He wants to give you access to overcome sin. He wants to see you delivered from sin, permanently free from not only the guilt, but also the power of sin, so that you live lives that are pleasing to God, that you live lives that are for him and not for yourself. And when he was done with that work on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of God, saying, "It is done. I have purified my people. I have accomplished what I set out to do. I have taken my divine nature and I have used it to rescue and purify my people. And because of it, I will sit on this throne forever, interceding for my redeemed ones, to make sure that my plans are accomplished, to make sure that this purification only continues into the future. Christ is reigning on his throne, and he is reigning for God and for you. And that is what God wanted to reveal through Christ. The exalted Christ is the solution to all of your problems. Only the exalted Christ can make purification for sins. Only the exalted Christ can give us confidence to draw near to the throne of grace. Only the exalted Christ can give us help in our time of need, can satisfy our every longing, can help you persevere, can deliver you from death, can lead you to glory. Only the exalted Christ is a true source of hope and help. And that is what God wanted to reveal through his Son. He reveals God. He mediates for you to God, and he will rule doing those things forever. He is your prophet, your priest, and your king, and he is going to do these things forever. So don't stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ. Because when you stop listening to what God has spoken in Christ, you forget those things. You forget what life is about. You forget that God cares for you. But listen to him. And when that loved one passes away, go to him. When that relationship seems broken, go to him. When it doesn't seem like you can go another day, go to him. He's in control, and he cares for you. And that's what he's spoken to you through Christ. And so who are you listening to? Are you listening to what God has spoken in Christ and being reminded day by day that Christ is in control of all things, that we should be doing all things for him, and that as we do that, he's going to care so well for us? Or are we listening to something else? And if we're listening to something else, we need to confess those things to God and ask for his forgiveness and remind ourselves again about what he's spoken to us in Christ. Remember once again that Christ died to cleanse you from sin, that he's presently reigning over all things, that he's in control of all things, that he's God's final and complete revelation. He's everything that I need. There's nothing better that I could be listening to than what God has spoken in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, it's amazing that we forget what you've told us in Christ. That we're so quick to start living for ourselves and not remembering that life is all about Christ. We're so quick to forget that you care about us, and we start trying to make sure that we have everything we need in our own strength. And when we do those things, life never goes well. It never goes the way it should. And so, Lord, we confess. I mean, I think all of us at different times, we stop listening to you. We start living for ourselves, and we confess those things to you, Lord. And Lord, help us even in the weeks ahead recognize the way that maybe we've been listening to things that are not good for us. They're not helpful to us in any way, because we need to be listening to what you've spoken in Christ. Remind us that our whole life is to be about Christ. Remind us whatever trial that we're in, that it's for you and it's for your glory. And pray that you would exalt yourself through all the trials in our lives. Lord, it is kind of the course of this life that you will bring us through trials, because you're doing things that we can't always see, but we need to trust you. But we know that in trials that the glory of Christ, the value of Christ often shines the brightest. So help us glorify him in the trials in this life. Help us to remember that you care about us, that Christ gave his life for us, that he's upholding all things to make sure that his plans are accomplished. He wants to purify us. And so, Lord, help us to remember that. Help us not to rely on our own strength to be trying to accomplish things, but to trust that you care about us, and we can trust what you're doing and how you're going to care for us. Lord, help us to listen to you and to what you've said in Christ, and pray this in his name. Amen.